Okay, I checked this out with him. He's okay. Pat, can you stand up? Everybody look at Pat. Pat is not my son, Mitchell. People think he's my son, okay? So sit down. Man, I'm alive. I know. There's at least three people. Is that your son, Mitch? Pat, this is what you got to look forward to, man. There's reason to never come back again right there, boy. Wow. Hot dog. Hey, guess who's getting married next Sunday? Ashley and Sean are getting married, and they're both smiling. That's good. That's great. Next Sunday. So it's Carlton Place, right? Where's the ceremony? Okay. Well, I just got to know where I'm going from here. Okay. My whole life consists of Heather telling me what to do. You know what? Has the recording started? Has the recording started, Rick? Good. That's great. We love this stuff on the website. Okay. Like, this is all on the podcast. I'm really excited that we've got a hill out there and a cute little 4-year-old boy who looks like he's going to build the temple on the mount there. And you know what's good about it? If this gets boring, you'll have something to watch and something to do. Okay. So that's good. Okay. So, before I quench the Holy Spirit anymore, let's pray. Father, thank you for this awesome bunch, God. Thank you for, thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. And now, God, we need stuff, Lord, that's going to make a difference in our week, Lord. And God, we're going to celebrate your body and your resurrection this morning as well. So, Lord, come in and do what we can't do, Lord God, and make yourself real and reveal yourself to us where we're at this morning. Amen. I want to talk about blindness today. Blindness. Last week, the genesis of this thing started with a line I used last week. We've been talking about childlikeness is the closest step to Christlikeness, and you know, if you do not welcome a child, you don't want Jesus in your midst. And we've talked about that. And I used a line last week, and I said worldly maturity, to be worldly wise, worldly maturity most often, almost always, brings spiritual blindness. Without Jesus, worldly maturity brings spiritual blindness. And I used this scripture last week. I'm going to bring it to you again. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. There's a truth there. There's something going on here, and we're going to try and get to the bottom of that there. Wouldn't it be great if you had all the facts? Hey, pick a news story. You know, we never know what's going on. You're always hearing somebody's version of it, somebody's perspective. Even the Gospels, when Jesus, his life and his resurrection, everything, he had four people writing about it. It's all truth. It's all what happened, and when you bring it all together, you get a well-rounded picture, but you get four different perspectives on the life of Christ. And life is like that. News is like this. We never have all the facts. Like, I'd like to know, like, what's the whole thing with JFK there, you know? Did Marilyn Monroe, did she just die, or was there something going on there? And why are all these conspiracies about, you know, going to the moon? And what's really at Area 51, you know? Wouldn't you love all those facts, you know? Oh, counsel, you're just weird. You're a conspiracy buff. No, I'm not a conspiracy buff. I just know. Look, I'm working in news for most of the part of my life. I know that there's a lot of things that never get out there, okay? And you only hear what they want you to hear. And there's a real cool scripture, and it's in Isaiah 8 and 12. And you can look it up sometime. It's not on my notes, but it came to mind. You know what it says? Do not call conspiracy what these people call conspiracy. Now, it's almost like a motivation for God. Don't get caught up in that nonsense. There's way more important things, okay? But having said all that, one person has all the facts. Somebody knows what's really, really going on. I love this verse that talks about him. For in him, All things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Okay? So that's from a world perspective. He is in total control. Without Christ, though, without Christ, there is blindness. There is spiritual blindness. You've heard me pray, if you hang around me a bit, God, help us. I love this slide here. Help us with our blind spots. This guy is serious. This guy is serious about his blind spots. Okay? How many times have you been, how many times have you had something bad happen in your life where you said, I didn't see it coming. I got blindsided by it. You know, we got blind spots. Heather's got a new truck, okay? Do you know that before you, and you probably, some of you guys with new cars, you, if you go over in a lane, there's that car, it starts talking to you. You know, like, you know what the dumbest thing in your truck is, Heather? This is so crazy. This is beyond belief, and you know it, okay? You're driving along, if you deviate from the lane, you get, this is crazy, you get a message on the dashboard that says, steering is required. Oh, thank you for that. Boy. Man, where would I be without that genius in the dashboard there? Save my life, okay? We get thrown off our game, we get destroyed, we get disappointed, and it's impossible to be able, you go paranoid if you try to keep in control of everything. We gotta trust God. I mean, that's where the good part comes with, it just, okay, God, I'm in your hands, you know? We surrender our lives, and people are afraid of this, but I gotta remind you, he's before all things, and in him all things hold together. Nothing catches him by surprise. Nothing. Didn't see it coming. There's a still, small, tender voice when that happens that you need to hear. It says, I saw it coming. Now just hold me a little tighter here. We'll be okay. Okay? We'll be okay. I want to prevent some of the things that we can prevent, though. There are some things we can prevent. Okay? I mean, imagine being blind. Okay? Imagine being blind. Some of you got blind friends. Okay? They have to be guided. And, they're so easy to be taken advantage of, too. Ooh. I've been in situations where I've seen people make fun of people that are blind, you know, and kind of play tricks on them. That reminds me, let's turn off the phones. I don't think mine's off either. Is it off? Let's see. Yep, it's off. Can you imagine the cruelty of that, you know? And I've seen it. You kind of restrain yourself because you want to hit the person. And you've heard this term, blind leading the blind. Man, do we have a lot of that, don't we? Okay? There's spiritual blindness too. So what causes spiritual blindness? Like, man, I didn't know that this was going on. I didn't know that, you know, this was destroying me. If the Bible tells us how to live, please, and it takes a while to learn this, okay? If the Bible says, I want you to do this, and I don't want you to do this, the only thing God asks you to give up are things that will kill you or kill somebody else. Not a bad deal. And if he asks you to do something, it's because he's trying to multiply life and kindness. That's why we're called the light of the world, okay? But we have an enemy, and he's good. What causes, and there are causes to spiritual blindness. First of all, we're born in sin, okay? We're born with this virus that is part of the whole human race, where we are inclined in our natural state to sin. Oh, I think everybody's born good. Really? You take any kid, give him no parental supervision and no guidance, he's going to be burning the house down by the time he's 9 or 10, okay? And add a little bit of neglect, and add a little bit, just a little bit of abuse, and it will hasten it. He'll do it when he's 7, okay? Heather works in a program and deals with kids, okay? The stories you hear of kids that have done things. The kid's 7? Are you kidding me? Yeah, he's done this, this, and this. And there's a reason, because everybody without love and without the parenting that God intended every kid to have, okay, We're born in sin. Probably the greatest evidence that we're born in sin. We need a Savior. That's why Jesus was so passionate. Go into all the world and preach. Make disciples, okay? Reach them. Jesus understands sin better than anybody. And he knows that sin comes almost with a, comes with a genetic spiritual blindness to it. And then on top of that, we've got our enemy who is described in Ephesians 2 as the prince of the powers of the air. We hear through air. We see through air. We smell through air. He's the prince of that realm that we perceive through. And he is the grand, if he's the father of lies, he's also the warper of perceptions. He is the master of making mountains out of molehills. He is the master of making things way worse. He is the master of, in your mind, he is the master of getting you off your game and believing my God's in charge all the time. Nothing catches him by surprise, and he will never leave me nor forsake me. Now we hear that, but you know there's lots of times you don't feel that way. There's lots of times he's forgotten me and he lies better than anybody. One morning, God's going to allow me to preach a message that is so important, I refer to so often, and it's called Believable Lies. I preached it in the last church. All his lies are believable. They're the best. Nobody lies better than he does. In fact, his lies are so powerful that we go spiritually blind by them. Look at what it says in 2 Corinthians 4. The God of this age, small g God, so we know it's the devil. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Here's another one, John 12:40. He has blinded their eyes. This is Jesus talking. He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts so they can neither see with their eyes nor understand with their hearts nor turn. And I would heal them. I would heal them. We get blinded so easily. Revelation 3:18, I counsel you, Jesus talking again, I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich. Now, it's spiritual riches here because he's talking to the church in Laodicea. Laodicea is the wealthiest church by far of the seven churches that he talks to in the book of Revelation. They have got it together, man. Their band way better than ours. Their preacher's way better than ours. They got better facilities. They got money in the bank. I mean, people are calling them up wanting to do TV interviews. Laodicea's got it together, okay? And Jesus says to Laodicea, I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Oh, I wish we could see things the way God does. Man, that's got to be a primary goal of people pursuing Christ. That's such a good prayer. God, help me to see this the way you do. Help me to see people in my neighborhood the way you do. Help me to see this bunch that you put together the way you do, okay? And I'll tell you the process that he's going to start working in you to accomplish that, it's not always comfortable, okay? But he loves you. He's not going to pack it in. We get blind to stuff, though. What do we get blind to, okay? We get blind to God's priorities, okay? You do. When it comes to wealth, when it comes to power, when it comes to relationships, when it comes to sin, okay? We get blind as priorities. There's nothing more creative than somebody justifying their own sin. Oh, you can always make a reason for it. You can even find a scripture for it, okay? There's always, I mean, the devil's so good at those lies. Oh my goodness, justifying your sin, he's got so many good ones. And they're all believable. And we do believe them if we don't have the light of Christ and we are not following close to him. You've heard that scripture, his path is in the sea. The only way you can follow a path in the sea, as soon as somebody lifts their foot out of the water, you see that hole and you're right there. You've got to be close to God. So we try to help each other stay close to God. We are vigilant. We are diligent. You can't let something creep in because little things that we neglect that are against God and we know are wrong, they have a nasty way of growing into things that destroy marriages, destroy businesses, destroy lives, kill you, okay? They have to be, the saying is, nipped in the bud. We get blind to God's priorities. We get blind to God's priorities as far as our own righteousness. Self-right, thinking I can do it on my own. I'm good. Everything's okay, you know? Our pride. And we're hardwired for it. We're hardwired for self-preservation.
Oh, you got to love yourself. Listen, you're so hardwired to love yourself. See, if I came over to Sue right now and went like this, okay, and she knows me, I wouldn't do that. But if she didn't know me, she'd get right away. She her body would go into a defensive mode. Just like when you got about a, we had our great nephew with us at the breakfast yesterday, little Dean, he's 4 months old, and I almost did this, Heather, but I didn't want to freak the parents out, okay? You take a baby who's 4 months old, lift them up like this, tilt them forward real quick, you know what they do? Immediately, the hands go like this, okay? And that reflex action, that carries you most of your life, okay? That's why you've seen these parties where you get somebody, you know, just lie back flat and we'll catch you. No, that takes a lot of trust. Because even at your age, if you fall forward, your hands go up immediately. That reflex is there from an infant. Why? Because we're hardwired to protect ourselves. Hardwired for it. And the devil uses that against us. He thinks because that's hardwired, it's a sacred thing. And boy, you are more important than anybody. Oh, yeah, I like that. That feeds my ego, does it? You are more important than anybody. The healthiest estimation of yourself comes from the person who loves you more than anybody, and that's God, okay? And you want to know yourself? Well, psychologists, they love that line. You'll know thyself. It just sounds so intellectual, doesn't it? You know? You want to know yourself? Get to know Christ, because He created you, okay? He knows your faults. He knows your strengths better than anybody, and He doesn't withhold that information. He's going to let you know your weaknesses too, and He'll be there to protect you from them as well. But we get blind to that, okay? We get blind to ourselves and priorities, and we get blind to, you know, where other people are at either. Hey, let me get that speck out of your eye, you know? And while I'm trying to get the speck out of your eye, I just jammed the plank into my eye a little bit harder, okay? Jesus uses that analogy, okay? Look what it says about the gods that people worship. It's a little bit, because we're blind to our sin as well and how serious it is. Psalm 115, 3-8. Our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases Him. But their idols, okay, the idols that we've been blinded into thinking, well, we don't call them idols. I mean, we're just having fun, right? We're just getting richer. We're just getting more, you know, we got more pizzazz to us. We're getting more distracted from our devotion and our purpose. That's not an idol. Come on. In fact, we can even justify it as the blessing of God. If you're blessed with something that makes it more difficult for you to follow Christ, I would suggest it's not necessarily a blessing. Okay? Let's continue. But their idols are silver and gold made by human hands. They have mouths that cannot speak. Eyes, but cannot see. Here's the blindness there. They have ears, but cannot hear. Noses, but cannot smell. They have hands, but cannot feel. Feet, but cannot walk. Nor can they utter a sound with their throats. Look at this. Those who make them will be like them. And so will all who trust in them. There's going to be deafness. It's going to numb feelings. It's going to be blindness. That's what happens when we get distracted from what we're created to be in relationship and following God. Ezekiel 1 and 18. I'm not going to put the reference up there, but that's the vision where Ezekiel has this vision of the wheels. You've heard of Ezekiel's wheels? And like people have been trying to interpret that. The best interpretations I've ever read on what those wheels were, Ezekiel, I saw these wheels moving. And the best interpretation I've ever heard, I've researched a lot of it, is that it is an image of God's eternal qualities. Okay? It moves. Nothing misses it. And it says this wheel is covered in eyes. Okay? There's eyes all around it. Why? Because it sees all. Doesn't miss a thing. That is God. Look at Jesus. The Pharisees were blind to their own sin. So when Jesus said to them, you know, whoever you doesn't have the sin, you cast the first stone, that was a total psychological spiritual undressing right there. He exposed their spiritual depravity and nakedness right there. Because they were blind to their own sin. They thought they were together. And nobody exposed the Pharisees ever. And here comes this guy and he just lays them out. Why? Because they were so blind to their own sin. We are blind to our purpose a lot. Okay? Here's our purpose. There's a lot of scriptures that talk about purpose, but this one's as good as any, maybe the best. We all know the first part, and we know that in all things, God works for the good to those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. There's the purpose. What's the purpose? It's in verse 29. For those God foreknew, in other words, this is what my plans were for you before you were even born, For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. There's our purpose right there, Christ-likeness. Our purpose is Christ-likeness. We get blind to that. And a lot of people are afraid of it because they got this warped image of Jesus that the church has churchified so bad that when a kid is connected with churches in North American culture, all he knows about Jesus and church is boredom. I sit in a room and I listen to a story and they don't like me to have fun. Okay? That's, and you know how much damage has been done, how the incredible name of Christ, the abundant life that he's promised us. Most people are raised in churches, they don't have a clue what that is. They don't have a clue. Okay? And the devil's been very good at blinding people to that. Our purpose is to know Christ, which is amazing, to be conformed to the likeness of his son. I was watching a documentary on Netflix, Martin Scorsese, okay? Good filmmaker, a bit of a basket case when it comes to morality. I've got some real hang-ups, but boy, the guy's talented, okay? He just put out on Netflix, he's got a... Can you imagine this? People will actually sit through this, and I probably will too, me, Mr. Hypocrite here. 3.5-hour documentary on George Harrison. 3.5 hours! You know? Like, you gotta be a Beatle fan to sit all through that, okay? So I watched about an hour of it, like really well put together. And, you know, I know the Beatles well enough. And it plays a lot on, you know, they do a lot. I saw a lot of live interviews of the Beatles, you know, talking to, you know, remember this nut bar here? Maharishi Mahesh Yoga? They put millions into this guy, and they got ripped off royally, okay? And remember, I'll tell you, this explains the whole experience as well as anybody. This is Nowhere Man. The lyrics are Nowhere Man. He's as blind as he can be, just sees what he wants to see. Nowhere Man, can you see me at all? Boy, that thunders with purpose, doesn't it? Don't you just want to go out and change the world after you've heard that, okay? And yet, I mean, these guys basically lost 2 years of their lives, you know? All the money, all the fame you'd ever want, and they fall for this loser? You gotta be kidding me, okay? There, I mean, that you talk about deflecting from your purpose. You talk about Ecclesiastes 2, meaningless. And you know what? I was looking for some excerpts of some of the interviews they did that I watched. I went online looking for the actual, like, transcripts. I mean, they talk about the secret of life from this guy, and it's the most stupid, gobbledygook nonsense. It's crazy. Well, we are like that. We're just a part of the whole. And I go, what? You know? Next. 1 Corinthians, okay? I want to go to what the word says. Where's the wise person? Where's the teacher of the law? Where's the philosopher of this age? Well, there's one of them right there, okay? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Yeah, I would think so. Our purpose is Jesus Christ. And we don't follow Jesus because he creates a goofy head trip. And there's a lot of people in the body of Christ that they follow Jesus for the buzz, you know, the whole charismaniac. And look at, I know the gifts of the Spirit's great, it's wonderful. But some people have taken that stuff and that's all they get is the buzz, you know. Oh, shock me, shock me, shock me. You will receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you so that you will be my martyrs. The purpose of the power is so you will not be afraid to die. That's the original book of Acts. How that got translated from Acts 1:8 into you will receive the Holy Spirit so you can have a buzz like LSD trip. Okay? You will receive power so God will turn you into some Jesus freak. Okay? Jesus does not turn people into freaks. He turns freaks into people. Okay? Real people. They were made in the image of God. He just brings us back to what our purpose is, to be conformed to the most perfect person that ever lived, Christ himself. We pursue him. You're never going to get there on your own. We get that. But we find that as we're pursuing him and as we confess and as we submit to him, he empowers. And his purpose becomes clearer. That's why Jesus said in John 15:5, and it's the vine and the branches. He says, look, and apart from me, you can do nothing. That's not degrading. That's not cutting you down. He's telling you, here's where your source of all power is. All of it. It is in Christ. And to the degree that we as a church can make that power available and make it real, that's where we're going to be exactly where God wants us to be. When we start getting distracted from stuff that isn't priority, for instance, worrying too much more about the food on Saturday night and who's serving it than why we're there to pray. We love food. We love fellowship. There's a place for it. It's important. It's wonderful. But it is not as powerful and as important as we got to hear from God. We got to know God. This is not a legalistic thing. This is a thing, and some of you know what I'm talking about. When we clue into Christ and we know what's going on, okay, and what He's wanting to do, man, everything else, the old hymn used to say, the things of the earth become strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. We get blind to that purpose. The devil blinds us to the good stuff too, okay? What do we get blind to? We get blind to God's promises, okay? And I can rip through them real quick, you know, just a few of them. I mean, I've got my favorites, you've got your favorites. I put up Romans 8 and 28. All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. Psalm 37, 4, delight yourself in the Lord. Don't just be a Christian. Delight yourself in the Lord. Find out what He's like and how wonderful He is. And He will give you the desires of your heart. Psalms 84 and 11, there's not a good thing that He's going to withhold to them who are walking with Him. In other words, if you're seeking something and He keeps blocking it, it's because it's not a good thing. I got news for you. You don't have all the facts. You don't know everything that's going on. He does. And He's trying to get us to the place where we will trust Him with stuff like that. Philippians 1:6, I began the work in you. I'm going to finish it. I'm going to finish it. Don't run away on me. Don't give up. I'm doing something great in your life. Okay? He's promised He's going to finish that work. Acts 2 and 21. Okay? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I find myself quoting that scripture a lot. Well, John, aren't you saved? Yeah, but there's a lot of stuff still I want to be saved from. Okay? I ain't dead yet, so I'm not perfect. Okay? So I God, You said, save me from this. Save me. Save me from, mainly from myself and my sin. Okay? You've heard me say, when Jesus saved me, He saved me from John Council. If you get saved from yourself, man, that's huge. That's really big. And there at least a half a dozen times in the Word, I did the Word search because I know, He says, I will never leave you or forsake you, ever. Okay? We get blind to those promises. I get blind to those promises. We get blind to He's able to do far more than we could ever ask or imagine according to the Holy Spirit that's already at work with us. So we're blind to the possibilities. We're blind to God's faithfulness in spite of our sin. How come you put it cockeyed there? Because that's something, I don't know about you, but I got to be reminded of that more, probably more than anything. He is faithful, 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 faithful. I came across this verse. I've read it before, but it jumped out at me this week. I just love this, okay? Now remember, a lot of the journey we're in, we're kind of left Egypt, and we're in the wilderness a bit, and we're going in the promised land. What's the promised land? Being the light to the city. Reaching the lost, making a difference in kids' lives, making a difference in the poor and the homeless and everything. We're hardwired for that. We know that's what our mission is. We could have got facilities out of downtown. It's a lot easier. But we're trusting God. No, that's where You called us, okay? So they're in the wilderness, and they were a rebellious bunch, that bunch, okay? They were supposed to go in right away. They spent 40 years wandering around because of their thick heads, okay? So I came across this. This is just about when they're about to go into the promised land. This is so good. When I have brought them, this is God talking to Moses, when I have brought them into a land flowing with milk and honey, the land I promised on oath to their ancestors, and when they eat their fill and thrive, look at this, they will turn to other gods and worship them. He's talking about the children of Israel. He's talking about the people that He poured, did all these miraculous miracles in. They've seen more of the glory of God than any people in history. And He says of this bunch, they're going to turn to other gods and worship them, rejecting Me and breaking My covenant. He knows they're losers. He knows they're going to rebel. And he still chooses, I'm going to bless you guys. I'm going to drive your enemies out. See how faithful He is? He knows our weaknesses. He knows that we have trouble. He knows we struggle. What I'm trying to do is tell you how wonderful He is. Okay? You keep sinning, you couldn't destroy your life. He will let you if you want to, but that's not going to change His love for you. That's not going to change the possibilities and the promises that the devil is very, very good at blinding us to. Okay? And if we can get some truth that no, His word is always going to be true. God's grace, He chooses to bless them anyway. So I need help with my blindness. they that wait upon the Lord, that means we call on God, we follow Him. Not like, you know, we just hang around, wait for something to happen. Wait like a waiter, waits on a table, looking for orders, looking to be serving. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They're going to mount up with wings as eagles. They're going to run and not be weary. They're going to walk and not faint. Mount up with wings as eagles. Who've got the best eyes in all of nature? Eagles. They can see, and I've done research on them, they can see a little mouse poking its hole out of a hole from about a kilometer away. That's how good their eyes are. Okay? And God says, you wait on me, you're going to get my perspective. You wait on me, you're going to see things. The blindness is going to go away. You can't drift. Okay? You can't drift. Nice picture. You can't drift. You can't just like be along for the ride. Because our culture, the tide is against us. It's against us. But remember something. No matter how much you feel you're going, I'm down the river, up the river without a paddle. You know, like, you know, I've heard that line, okay? He's in the boat. And if we trust Him, and if we can see through, like, our own blindness and have Him dispel it, He's not only in the boat, He's more powerful than oars. He's more powerful than an Evinrude 200 horsepower outboard engine, okay? He's in the boat. He's in the boat. It's not going down. I love that story, you know? Get up! You want to drown? What? How can the boat go down when Christ is in the boat? Come on. Come on, okay? Our default, you need to understand this, our default is blindness. Christ has come in, but the devil doesn't care. He doesn't care where Christ has come into your life. In fact, he'll probably attack even more. Okay? This last thing he wants, he doesn't care about people that he's already got. They're as blind as bats. He doesn't have to work on them. But people that have found the light and are found in Christ, oh man, he can't have you doing damage on his kingdom. So he will assault you with blindness, with lies. He has no power, but oh, he's a good liar. He's a really good, good liar. Without Christ, there is no light. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. And he calls us, he says, you are the light of the world. And then there's partial blindness. Huh? Well, that's basically where a lot of us are. Partial blindness. This guy got healed by Jesus, but it wasn't quite right. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes, do a sermon on that sometime, and he put his hands on him, Jesus asked, do you see anything? And look what he says. I see people, they look like trees walking around. Okay? Whoa, you need another shot, buddy. Gotta pray with you again. You know, spiritually, that's where a lot of us are. Yeah, I got the truth, but yeah, I'm not seeing people the way you do. You know, when you get in the elevator, you're not seeing eternal souls that are created in the image of God. They're like trees. They're just kind of there, and you're all looking at the numbers, you know, because that's what you're supposed to do in this culture. Okay? When you're standing in line at the bank, okay, and you're frustrated, you don't see people like God sees people right then. They're like, this is where most of us are, right here. In fact, church, if we're doing it right, can be that time when we come back to Christ. Okay, you need another, you know. Now, it says he can do more than we can ask or imagine according to what's already at work. But life is a battle, and we have our weaknesses, and we have our enemy trying to magnify blindness in our life all the time. So we're going to help each other with that, aren't we? Okay? Here's our prayer for communion this morning. Okay? God, open our eyes and keep them open. God, open our eyes and keep them open. I'm going to ask you to do something that sounds really dumb. Close your eyes. And I'm going to ask the people that are going to be serving communion, if you could like mobilize immediately. And I'm going to pray a short prayer. And as soon as I say amen, we're going to go into the communion service and we're going to look at the word. And, you know, there's so much theological disagreement about what communion is and what it means to remember the Lord's body. And I'm not even going to pretend to have it all figured out, but I know something's there. You read the Word of God, and it's powerful, okay? So don't start serving yet, guys, yet. Okay, I just want to, as soon as I say amen, kick into gear, okay? Father, the last thing we want this to be is just a religious ritual that we go through the motions, Lord. God, it's a symbolic thing. But Lord, you have the ability that in these acts, these simple acts of obedience, you have the ability to open up our eyes and see things we never saw before. Lord, you are already speaking to people this morning about things in their lives and relationships, Lord God, where you have shone your light on and made things a little more true. And God, I pray by your Spirit as we obey you and your desire for us to remember your body, Lord God, that you would bring those wonderful things that you've started in our hearts and minds to fruition. In the name of Jesus, amen.